TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Yumi Kikuchi and Fukushima Kids Hawaii. In an interview, the executive director of the Radiation Health Project, Joe Mangano, presented the May 2014 data on thyroid cancer in children in Fukushima. Only 3 years after the accident, these statistics are of great concern, since they're higher than Chernobyl for the same time period.
How much higher than expected is the thyroid cancer rate among the 250,000 children who are being studied around Fukushima?
So far, about 40 times higher. Not 40% higher, 40 times higher, which is 4,000%.
And of those 250,000 kids, 46% have thyroid abnormalities.
That's right. Some sort of a growth, some sort of a mass on their thyroid. They call them cysts or nodules. They're not cancerous, at least not yet, but very, very few kids have any sort of a growth on their thyroid gland.
Well, it's a precancerous situation.
That's correct.
Under normal circumstances, what percentage would you expect to have thyroid abnormalities?
1%, you know, something down there.
Joe Mangano. He was interviewed on June 14, 2014, by the author and journalist Harvey Wasserman on his PRN radio program, the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. On June 11, 2014, a group of friends on the Mendocino coast met to welcome Yumi Kikuchi. She and her husband co-founded Fukushima Kids Hawaii. Since children are most vulnerable to radiation, Yumi and her husband Gen are bringing them and even their mothers for very young kids to Hawaii for healing periods of 3 or more weeks. Yumi is fundraising to make these ongoing vacations free and pay for airfare. Yumi has, for over 20 years, worked on campaigns against nuclear power with Dr. Helen Caldicott and the artist and activist Mayumi Oda. That's why she and her husband, immediately after the Fukushima accident, decided to take their own children off her farm, 150 miles from the Fukushima reactors. Even on her way out of Japan, via Okinawa, Yumi organized to bring pregnant women out of Fukushima. Once in Hawaii, she began organizing for housing and a new farm to help children from Fukushima. You can see photos of the project online at www.fukushimakidshawaii.com. I recorded Yumi Kikuchi in the living room of a home near the Pacific Ocean. The story begins on the day the tsunami struck Japan.
So my name is Yumi Kikuchi from Japan. I'm born and raised in Tokyo, and I moved to Chiba next to Tokyo about 15 years ago to grow my own food for my own family. Grow rice, vegetables, mushrooms, and all the fruit trees. And we were really becoming sustainable. Great life. We were living in this 200-year-old home that was abandoned, so rent was free. But we had to pay the land tax, so that was the situation. And I still am paying the tax, because one day I want to go back there. On March 11, I was in Tokyo. I'm a producer for Tokyo Peace Film Festival, and we were selecting films, and it started shaking, and the shake gets bigger, 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 and it was a really frightening moment. It lasted maybe 5 to 6 minutes. It's a long earthquake. In Japan, you get the experience very often. So you go there, stay 1 month, you get a few earthquakes. So I have lots of experience with earthquakes, but not that big and not that long. It was scary. and all the telephone lines and cell phones are dead, and electricity was off, so our lifeline was gone. So I couldn't call my husband in Chiba, my husband, my kids. And that was a scary night. I was staying at that public place, public space with maybe 100 people who couldn't go home that night. And there was a TV on because they had some backup generator. And our government, you may know, hid the fact of meltdown for 2 months from us. But I was so aware of the mechanics of nuclear power plants. They said one thing about the power shutdown. They said station blackout at about 10 o'clock. And I just saw that, the line, station blackout. And my heart was like almost stopping. Station blackout means within 90 minutes to 2 hours, the core start to melt. So I couldn't call my husband. I didn't know the situation with the kids, and I was, in 90 minutes from now, Fukushima nuclear power plant start to melt. So that's where I was on March 11th, the night. And next morning, I was able to catch maybe 9 or 10 o'clock train. Anyway, I was able to go halfway between my home and my husband, and I was able to connect by Twitter. All the phone was shut down, but Twitter was on, up. So using my cell phone, I was chatting, sending like Twitter message and where I will be. And we were able to meet in the afternoon. And I had information of station blackout the night before. So my first thing I want to do was to be out of Tokyo or Chiba as far as possible before the radiation is coming. I met again, and my kids, they came by car. And first thing we said, we must be out of here. I said that, and Gen said the same thing at the same time. So we had the same knowledge, which was very lucky. A lot of families didn't have that same knowledge of husband and wife. So after, even still today, many people go through divorce. Because mother know by instinct it's not safe for kids, but our government keeps saying, you know, this amount of radiation is okay and safe, stay there, eat Fukushima food. There's a campaign like support Fukushima produce. So everybody trying to eat Fukushima produce, and they feed that food to children in schools. And if you bring your own food, trying to avoid that school lunch, you are punished. You cannot do that. You have to eat. Yeah, there's no choice there in Fukushima. And teachers who tell story like I do, like radiation is not safe for kids, they're going to be they're out of school systems. So it's very, very hard for people in Fukushima to speak any concern about radiation right now. So people are living in this denial, and as if the poem, as if nothing has happened, but radiation is still very high. And it's been 3 years. So you hear many isotopes, and one of the isotopes easy to measure is cesium. Cesium in Japanese, but in English, cesium. There's 134 and 137, two different isotopes. So 137 has half-life of 30 years, and 134 is only 2 years. So 134 is already half, or more than half. It's reduced. But 137 is 30 years. So I'm speaking today, it will be in 30 years, just become half. So that's something we are dealing with. So 30 years from now, the amount of cesium in food will be just become half. And like plutonium, you know, about plutonium make bomb. Like the Nagasaki bomb was made of plutonium. That one is 24,000 years. They're not going to reduce that while I'm living. And the other ones like strontium, that goes into your bones and create a bone cancer or leukemia. That one is 29 years. Radiation is dangerous for especially the pregnant women because of fetus. If they get radiation in certain time, even the twice as much is hazardous. They create deformation or DNA damage or So the first thing I did was we met the next day, and we both said, let's get out of here. And we went home. What we grabbed was passport, cash, that's all. We left. We took the kids. We went to the Haneda airport. We left our car there. We abandoned our car at the airport. And that later is a huge bill sent to us, you know, because we left the car there in the parking lot. Anyway, we left and we took the next flight to Fukuoka as far as we could go that night, and then we flew to Okinawa. So that's what we did. And as soon as we went to Okinawa, we have to settle ourselves. We have friends there, so we were able to stay in an apartment. And as soon as we get oriented, we have to get pregnant women out of Fukushima. How do we do that? So I call all my friends in Okinawa. That's where I met Junko. And we started a campaign called Tsunagu Hikari. It means connecting light. So we are connecting people from Fukushima to Okinawa people so that if anybody wants to come to Okinawa, they can stay in apartment houses, which has, I was collecting all the information of people who has extra rooms in Okinawa. And in that way, we were able to help 264 women and children from Fukushima area to Okinawa. So that's something I did first. But then we came to Hawaii because we always wanted to go. We had a plane ticket to Hawaii March 20th, 9 days later. So after I set up that operation in Okinawa, we came to Hawaii March 20th, and it was 2 weeks of stay, but we didn't go back. We left our kids in Hawaii, and only me and my husband went back to get some stuff back from our home. So my kids, since March 20th, of 2011, they are in Hawaii. And they started going to school, and they spoke no English. And my daughter was crying every day, like, I want to go home. It was so sudden. She didn't have time to say goodbye to friends or teachers. We just left. So she had that trauma. And she asked times and times, why can't I go? Why can't I say goodbye to my friends? And I tell them about radiation risk that has on her body. And then she started crying, what happened to my friends? If that's what I'm telling is true, how about my friends? And she started crying again. So those are very difficult moment in time for me, and I really wanted to do something for the kids because I know radiation for kids is not safe. I still believe so that I'm acting on that. So it was next year, December, there was another group called Rainbow for Japan Kids. They bring orphans from tsunami devastated area. It's much northern part of Japan, like Iwate and Sendai, Miyagi, where the close to epicenter and more tsunami than radiation. They were bringing those children to Hawaii, Oahu, and they came to Kona for a few days, and I met a woman, Hawaiian woman, and she said, I'm looking for a long-term stay. She was from Fukushima. She was born and raised in Oahu, but living in Fukushima as she married to men from Fukushima. And she was looking for a longer stay because the Rainbow for Japan Kids only about 9 days, 7 days, like 1 week program, very short stay. And what I wanted to do is a long stay so that they can get rid of the radiation, the detox and all that was what I wanted to do. And I met this woman saying what I wanted to do. I want to bring the children from Fukushima for a longer time. I'm looking for somebody who can do that. And I said, yes, I will do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the birth of Fukushima Kids Hawaii. So since then on, we are fundraising and 2013, we had 7 kids in summer, 8 kids in winter, and now last year in September, we have now a house called Fukushima Kids Hawaii House. Thais was talking about the babies and mothers can come anytime and stay up to 3 months for free. So all of that become possible thanks to the support I get from people like you. I've been speaking, I've been doing any fundraiser, anything that attracts people and money. I do Zumba, I'm a flautist, play music and do concerts and Zumba parties. I do cooking lessons or whatever I can do to create money. And we were able to create enough money to bring those kids. But it's always short because every time I bring the kids, all that money I raise is gone. And now I'm trying to bring 10 kids this summer with two adults. And here today, I'm also happy to spread this scheme to elsewhere, not just Hawaii. And dream came true. This person here, Junko Parsons, has started Fukushima Kids California. So she's bringing kids to California. It's high school kids. And this time is like 10 days, 9 days? Only two kids and 9 days. But it's great, it's a beginning. So we've got stats somewhere, small or big, and I really want to spread this program all the community so that they will see what happens when you're exposed to radiation. And I want to tell you one more thing. I'm from Tokyo. Fukushima is like Mendocino. It's a farming community, it's beautiful. It's like rice and vegetables come from Fukushima in Tokyo. The electricity we used from nuclear power plants from Fukushima, that's for Tokyo only. And local people in Fukushima never used any electricity from nuclear power plants. Mm.
Where was their electricity from?
Tohoku, it's another company. So it's in far away, it's far from Tokyo, because they emit radiation even in normal operation. They emit a little bit of radiation every day in normal operation. So they don't want to put it in a big city. It's dangerous, actually. So we get all the electricity from the far remote, beautiful rural places. People in Tokyo, a lot of people don't know this, but these nuclear power plants are for us, Tokyo City people. And they suffer. People in Fukushima suffer. And they are farmers and fishermen. So one thing they did, before the accident, we had this maximum dosage allowed for general public. There's another for the nuclear workers. It used to be 1 millisievert per year. It's a unit we use in Japan. In your country, you use count per minute, CPM. So it used to be 1. You just remember 1. It used to be 1 before the accident. And after the accident, they raised it to 20. Not 2. Not 2. 20. So 20 is considered to be safe. So we measure all the food, and we also check the water and all the food. They inspect, and they say it's safe. But we have a new standard. It's so high now. And I want to compare this with Chernobyl. Soviet Union then, back then, they evacuated all the area of 5 millisievert or higher. Forever, they evacuate, they take people, you know, and relocate them if it's 5 or higher, because it's so dangerous. And you think the Soviet Union is a bad country, right? They don't have democracy, but they did much better than us. They relocated all the people, and they paid for it. They had a bus, and they took the people. Our government said, it's under control. Don't worry about it. And eat Fukushima food and eat Fukushima produce. It's shocking, and it's 3 years. The reality is we have 300,000 children living in Fukushima, 2 million people living in Fukushima as I speak. And our government is saying it's safe. And yeah, it's under new regulations. Everything is safe now because it's 20 times higher than before. So that means more and more accumulation in the body if you don't pay attention to what to eat. A lot of children are having thyroid problems already. And we are seeing rising number of children cancer, the thyroid cancer. We had about 100 cases already in Fukushima. And our government says it's nothing to do with radiation. So all the media do not question that, and they report that, so they get that sickness from elsewhere. But kids already had, about 100 kids had thyroid cancer, and 30 of them had operation, and the rest are still waiting for operation. And thyroid cancer, as you know, it's very rare cancer. We usually have one per million people, one case is the ratio. Now we have 100 in 300,000 kids. That's like very high, 300 times higher than normal ratio. So I suspect it's radiation related. But yeah, it's quite scary, actually. Yeah, so only the mothers who know me directly or indirectly will come really secretly. They don't want to tell their friends and families they go to Hawaii. They have to hide it, because once they are known, it's going to be a trouble for them. Yeah, so it's very tricky. And some of the mothers are standing up, I don't care, I will speak out. So the Hiromi, the mother who left today, she says, I will put my name, my face, and everything out to tell the truth. So there are women like that, like me and like her. So those women will gonna change, make a change, I think. But otherwise, people are so intimidated to speak the truth because the risks are high. Even doctors and school teachers lost jobs by trying to save the kids. Don't go out and play, don't touch the soil, because it's radioactive in Fukushima. And those teachers try to protect the kids' life. They lost jobs. So people in the world, unless you're a fan of Helen Caldicott or Annie Gunderson in this country or Chris Busby from London, England, people don't know the truth. And in Japan, we have few very great scientists who speak the truth, but they are really marginalized. They are not on TV. They are not. You have to search for those people who speak the truth. And luckily enough, I know all of them. I work with all of the people like Helen, Chris Busby, Annie Gunderson, and my people in Japan, Takase Hiroshi and Morizumi Takashi and Hida Shuntaro. All those great people who speak the truth, like my friend. So that's great. And I have. Of obligation and responsibility to bring as many children and mothers as possible from Fukushima to Hawaii or California or Okinawa so that they can live safely and long, healthy life. When I start this Fukushima Kids Hawaii project, I'll be doing this for at least half life of cesium-137, which is 30 years. So I'm quite old already. 30 years from now, I'll be like 80-some years old. So I don't know how long I can do this, but I'm really committing myself to this project. And if you want to know more about our project...
Also,
yes?
I wonder if you could maybe talk about when the children come to Hawaii, mm-hmm. they spend a month and then they are detoxing, I guess, right?
They are eating healthy food, healthy organic food every day.
Right.
Yes, and they go to ocean to swim with dolphins. They go kayaking. They go mountain hiking. They do all kinds of. They do English lessons. They learn like medical lesson from us. They learn nonviolent communication from me. I teach nonviolent communication, so I teach that to kids.
They'll be working on the farm.
And now we have the farm, Aloha Keiki, Fukushima Kids Farm, biodynamic or permaculture garden. They're going to be working on with Antonio. So
what happens when they go back to Japan?
They will be so much healthier than being exposed constantly. They live there constantly, you're exposed 24/7. And once they are out, their system really grows back fast. And their immunity is so much higher. And once they go back, it's bad again, but it's much better than being exposed all the time. So those children in Chernobyl, they have programmed, all the Ukraine government And they are much poorer than Japan, but they are paying everything by the government. And they can go to sanatorium for 3 months. So, and if you have thyroid problem, they go to certain sanatorium. And they, if you have a heart problem, you go to other. And heart program is made as such. And we need one like that in Japan. So by doing that, if you bring the children out of harm's way, away from radiation for some time, the studies, 24 days or more actually. You need 24 days to be really effective. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to make it 24 days or more. Then they can be really rebuild their system and can fight. Uh-huh. And they are learning a lot from us about food. So even though they are living in Fukushima, they're eating differently after they had come to Hawaii and spent time with us. I want them to move. Actually, my long-term goal in Hawaii is I want to make a boarding school so that they don't have to go back. I didn't want them stay a year, 2 years, and they become the speaker of the world to tell the world what they went through because of radiation, because of nuclear power plants, and tell the world, the population, hey, you guys, stop, stop the nuclear power plants because you, your community will be so damaged once it has an accident.
That was Yumi Kikuchi, the co-founder of Fukushima Kids. I recorded her on June 11, 2014, at the beginning of her short journey to the U.S. to talk about and ask for support for her project of bringing children from Fukushima to Hawaii. They spend free vacations at her home and a farm to recover from the impact of daily doses of radiation. Her husband, Gen Morita, is a traditional Japanese healer who specializes in restoring immune systems. After the talk, Yumi gave us a taste of a beautiful daikon and radish salad and a healing soup. You can find more information, including a couple of YouTube films, on the website of www.fukushimakidshawaii.com. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. Open the newest programs page and scroll down. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and free as podcast online. This is an unfunded program that depends entirely on donations by listeners. You can contact TUC Radio online at tucradio.org. The email is tuc@tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilardin. Thank you for listening.